share for a couple of minutes, so you guys that are, don't be too scared that we're going to be long. We need to share the word a little bit, so I don't want to keep you too long. So we're going to have a little bit of time of fellowship as we close out our morning. This is a different morning, a time just to acknowledge and celebrate what we've accomplished together. And this year, this is like a brand new year. It's like New Year's for us. Every year, this is the year that we start school, like start church and so on. So, you know, we need to live life that there's a meaning for it. You know, we have to do things because it means something. And God has a plan and He has a purpose for our lives. And there is a will of God. There's a will of God. There's a place for you. There's a place for everybody. Everybody fits somewhere. And so let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it says, "For David, after he had served," everybody say served, "served his own generation by the will of God." Notice that he served by the will of God. "He fell asleep," that means he died, "was laid unto his fathers," in other words, he went to, with his ancestors, and he saw corruption, or he says, you know, basically, everybody goes back to dust. I didn't want to say rotted. Okay, so he saw corruption. He everybody's gonna die, and every one of us is gonna see corruption one day. But God, by His Spirit, He said that one day He'll put us back together. Even if you blew up at sea and the plane just blew up in a million quadrillion pieces, your body will come back together. That's how God is awesome. He put you back together. So, this is not a reference to David in terms that he did his own will. This refers that he died, and he died serving out God. You know, when this man said, "I believe that my calling is attached to somebody else's calling," our lives mean something when we're attached to somebody else. You know, we're here together, and you know, we can get so caught up in our problems, we get so caught up in our own issues that we forget the main purpose. I'll promise you this, that if you take care of God's stuff, He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of your finances. If you take your finances, and by the way, this is the emphasis, that we are to take our money every week that we make and present it to God and give God first, not second, not what is left over. You give God first. That's the first thing that you ever do with your paycheck. You think about God first. Amen. You put away God first. If you serve God first, you will never be afraid to run out of money. You will never be afraid that you're going to run out. And if you would do that first, and some of you guys need to learn that. You've been here for 20 years, 30 years, you still haven't learned that. You need to learn how to do that. Put God first. I've been here for that long time, and I know my own flock. I know I look at people's lives and I see that sometimes God will deal with you in the area of finances. And if you can't believe God for finances, you won't believe God for your marriage, you won't believe God for your children, believe God for your physical bodies. God will test you in the area of finances first, because that's where it hits you the most. So if you can believe God, now it didn't say your problems will never come to you, but you'll always come on top and you'll always know you're tied to God. Because you're depending on God for everything. When you give your money to God, you're depending on Him for everything. And you know. So it's important you realize that, and there's a teaching for that in the scripture, but I can't teach it. I just want to give you that highlight. That your life is tied to somebody else. Your life is tied to other people. I know your parents will probably know this. If you've been a mom and dad, that your life, sometimes you drop everything to help your kids. How many people have been done that? You know, if no matter what's going on, if there's an emergency with your family, your parent, whatever, you just drop everything and then you help out. If it's your last money in the bank, you're going to go and help your relative, your parent, or your children. And so that's important. Your life is tied to somebody else. So living, here's an idea that you need to put in your head. Purpose. Your purpose in life gives meaning to your life. Your purpose in life. What are you made for? Why were you born? Like, why were you created? There's a reason why you were created. God had a plan for you. You know, so many scriptures that said God had a plan for you. There's so much scriptures in the Bible that said he had a plan for you. You know, like if whatever it is, he's called you to be with somebody else, to serve people. Like Cindy said, you know, my purpose, you know, the prophecy came forth that her job was to help this man in ministry. My wife had the same thing. Your job is to help this man to be in ministry, to be a pastor. She said, I'm not a pastor. I don't want to ever preach. I'm not looking to preach anywhere. You know, there's some people that just want to preach all the time. But my wife said, no, I don't want to preach. I'm here. You do it. A lot of times, I don't want to do it. And I don't think that Pastor Ken does want to preach all the time, but he does it. But he said, he quotes a scripture, or not a scripture, but Brother Haggett said he'd preach himself till he died. He tells me that sometimes, because he loves it. You know, you could love something so much that you could do it so much that it burns you out. You know, you could do something. I learned that in ministry and life, that you could do something over and over and over. Like some people could go running, they go jogging. I've been there. Like I've exercised. I exercise 4 or 5 times a week for all my life. I still do it. I walked 6 miles yesterday. I went out to the gym for an hour and a half. I have to. I don't have a job. I don't climb on roofs. I got to work out. You know. So, but some people, they get addicted to it. And anything can be addictive, right? It's a good addiction, like you said, but if you do it too much, you got to watch. So, living with a purpose means that you live a life that has meaning in it and or a significance in your life. You also, that your life matters to somebody. What you do matters to somebody else. And the Bible tells us that when we give our lives to Jesus, when we give our lives to God, it's important that you stick to the plan that God gave you. And you know, he will bring back things in order. If you stick with God, you say, God, no matter what's happening, you know, in your life, if you say, Lord, even your health is tied to it. If you got a heart attack, or if you got a, you know, you had a stroke, or you broke your arm or something like that, you know, and you know God's on your side, you're going to come out of this. You're going to come out of it. Like Kathy McQuaid, you know, she had a stroke. She shouldn't have been here today. She said, I'm tied to Pastor Roma, what he's doing there. Lord, I got a purpose. And so she lived. You know, so thank God for that. And Dave McQuaid should have been dead long time ago. And he had a heart attack, and he's walking to work. I don't know where he was going, somewhere. But he ended up at the, he just got to the library, and he passed out. He was almost dead. And so his life got spared. Did you and I go and see him? We visited Dave McQuaid. Went to see him, and the Lord spoke to him about his calling. I remember Brother Higgins said, and we use him for example, different ones. He said he had a heart attack. A church speaking at a convention, fell over. And the Lord said to him, "You're not doing what I told you to do." That he got, you know, He loved to preach these, whatever he was doing, but he fell over under the power of the enemy in church. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "The reason why you got a heart attack is because I told you to do something. You're doing what you want to do. You're doing your own thing." He said, "If you would go back to the same purpose, I'll heal you." Same with Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn has a huge ministry. You know, he told us, we were right there at a convention. He told us, he said, "You know, I went home one Sunday morning and I passed out, had a stroke or a heart attack. I fell in my shower. He took me to the hospital, and they said you have a broken artery in your lung, in your heart valve. You can't go preaching. You can't travel." He said, I got a list of traveling. I'm going everywhere, all over the world." He said, when the people left his room, he said, Jesus appeared in his room. He said, "Benny, I told you to do something. You didn't do it, and you got sick because the devil got in your life. You let open the door." "I don't want to open the door. I want to know if I'm on a plane somewhere that God sent me there, not because I want to do it for some reason." By the way, I just got a call from Brother Mark, and he's having a hard time over in Africa. Just a hard time. Pray for Brother Mark. So, 1 Chronicles 29:28 says this about David. David died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. You know, he died in a good old age. You know, if you want to die in a good old age, you got to figure out some things with God. What he told you to do. You know, I know the devil will attack certain people, especially if you want to serve God. He wants to attack you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to attack you and your finances to discourage you from giving to the church. He'll attack you because he'll try to stop you from giving. So that the purpose of, how many people understand that God's word is so full of this word give, that you have to take whatever you make and give it to God for his purpose, so that he can do something here on the earth to make sure that his work goes on. And you cannot have ministry without finances. You cannot have your own home without finances. You can't run your car. We can't send money over to different churches and ministries. We can't give to Mark Davey in his ministry if we don't have money here. If we don't do what we have here, it's like everyone here, even if you're on what they call a fixed income, take part of that money and give it to the ministry of God. God will grow it. Money will come in different areas where you didn't even know it's coming to you. And your shoes will last longer. Amen. Your body won't wear out. Different things happen. Eh? God's a good God. He died in a good old age. Full of days, riches, and honor. In other words, he was well satisfied. He was so satisfied. And you know, there's something about serving out God. You know, when you serve God, you know, God is this concept of, you know, God out there. Where is God, you know? You know, God is in all of us, and he has a purpose for all of us. And so when we come and bring our lives and serve somebody else, that's the exact reason why we exist, is to serve. Ask yourself, do you have peace and satisfaction every day? Many go to bed awake each night, maybe thinking about why they exist. What's my purpose? Some people, like I heard, I think it was a preacher this morning said, you know, sometimes people don't realize they do have a reason for why they're living. To serve somebody, to to serve somebody else. King David died in peace with good satisfaction that he lived out and did what God wanted him to do. So we have to serve out the purposes of God, what his will is, what his desire is for your life. So here's the scripture in 1 Peter 4:10. He says that Apostle Peter said this, God has given each one of us a gift. So everybody say, I have a gift. So God says we have a gift to give. So from his great variety of gifts, the spiritual gifts, he said, we have to use these gifts to serve other people. I had a guy here, he told me not too long ago, he wrote me a great large check. He said to me, God told me that my purpose is to give money. I like those kinds of people. Eh? How come you feel better when you got more money? Ever notice that? Oh, I just feel so wonderful when I got money. Who says that money doesn't make you happy? It makes me happy. Eh? Sure, it does make you happy. You know, I have people asking me money all the time. Help me to do this. Help me do that. I'm afraid to see some of my cousins when they come to town. I'm just wondering if you can help me out. I said, I was wondering that too. It's funny, eh? You know, cost me $20 every time I see every relative. Okay, here. That's why I don't go back home. He said, well, Roma, how come you don't come back to the reserve? I go broke when I go back to my reserve. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just really kidding. You know, that doesn't really happen to me, but sometimes it does. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. Look at your neighbor and say, what a masterpiece. Huh? What a masterpiece. And thank God he's still under construction. Huh? Still under construction. And then, you know, I was at a meeting one time. Benny Hinn says, turn to your neighbor, says, you look wonderful. And turn to your other neighbor and says, you're going to look better when Jesus comes. He can even look better. he's bad, that many. Anyway, he has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he has planned for us. See? God has planned some purpose for you, for why you're living. You might be cooking. Somebody might be, making dresses. Somebody might be, you know, cleaning the floor, and it gives you a good feeling. And this couple here cleans every week, and he cleans all the floor in here. They're here about, I don't know, maybe all day sometime, cleaning, doing something, mopping. Yeah. But she didn't show up one day. I was wondering what happened. She never showed up Sunday. I waited for Sunday. I waited for Wednesday. Finally, they said she's got pneumonia. So you know what brought her out on Friday night? Chicken. So we're going to Applebee's for chicken. Oh, she came really smiling and everything. Eating that, what is that kind of flavor again? Honey garlic. Mmm. You had a good time? Yeah, oh yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. This is kind of funny. My wife said, don't you have a card there? You got a card you were given last. I had a card since last Christmas in my car sitting there. And so opened it up and it said, it's from Jerry and Jean. I said, maybe I should call Jerry up and see what he's doing. So I called him up and so I'm going to ask him for another card. My Christmas card for next year, okay? Yeah, so anyway, we had a good time. And Sterling was there. He ate some. He ate good, that guy. He phones me up. He says, what are you guys doing after? We had a good time, eh? Anyway, we had a good eat there. My wife is, we shared. I told her, you got to get your own food. wants to share with me all the time. He says, oh no, we're going to share. I said, I don't want to share. And she says, you're going to cut down. Well, I don't like to cut down on a Friday night. John 10:10 says that the Lord said, this is NLT, the Lord said the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. If there's anybody having bad health problems, God didn't send it. If you're losing money, you fell and tripped, God didn't do it. He didn't blow out storms to destroy you. God didn't take your children. He didn't take your dog. He didn't take your mother. And he never did all that. The thief did it. Jesus said, I have come. He said, my purpose. Look at Jesus said, my purpose. This is NLT. Is it on here? He said, my purpose. Everybody said, my purpose. So Jesus knew what his purpose was. So when he went to cross, he knew exactly why he had to go there. So you're a lot stronger when you know your purpose. Right? When you go mailing, it's not always nice days, right? Most of the time it's bad. You're walking through stores. Cindy's that short. Imagine her walking with that big bag in the snow time. Well, me and Ken are eating sandwiches. He says, man, these are hot, what is this? Anyway, hot wings. Cindy's carrying these bags. Oh, there's Cindy right there. Hi, Cindy. We drive by. If you don't know, Cindy's a mail carrier. So just man, this ministry's hard. Anyway, notice my purpose is to give them rich, satisfying life. So we ask yourself about the purpose of God. Are you satisfied? Are you enjoying your life? And one scripture says that you might enjoy life. I think Amplified says, but you might enjoy life. When you get up in the morning and you go to work, he said, do I enjoy my work? You know, some people work just because they have to. It's a job. I hate my job. I got to go there. But if you go somewhere where you just, man, you can't wait to get there. Joanne, you're retired now. Oh, you're going back. Okay. He's going to come back. Coming out of retirement for the 27th time. The word helps, 1 Corinthians 12:28, the acronym means having enough loving people serving. Helps. So we're having a meeting tonight, so we're inviting everybody to come. Everybody. Show up. I'm going to tell you something. I get so encouraged to see people. You know how it is to be here every week, day in and day out, to be here constantly. Sometimes when no one's around, you are here and you're here, you're doing stuff, and you need money, you need workers, you know. And when you show up on a Wednesday night or you show up on a Sunday night, obscure Sunday night where you could be somewhere else, we fly out of here. We just get so encouraged to go another 30 years. Yeah? And to get encouraged by you coming to be there. So, this is what we get. We're all individually gifted. Everybody has their own way of giving, own style of giving. So we sometimes teach about personalities. Personalities, understanding your own personality, how you're shaped, how you like to be served, and how you like to give. It's good to know that. And when we know that, it's easier to work with people, to understand, oh, this guy functions this way. You know, sometimes some people just like, you wonder why you can't get near them. You can't talk to them. It's like they don't want to talk to you, or they hate this place. But people are different. And you understand why people are a certain way. And so it's good to us for us to understand how people are, your husband or your children, how their personalities are, so that we understand them. Sometimes you get mad at people because you don't understand them. It's not all about us, right? It's about helping other people. Help them to feel comfortable and serve them and believe the best of them. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12:28 says that God has set every member in the church as it pleased him. So God puts you, he draws you to a church, draws you to a fellowship, and God puts you there. And everyone should know where they belong. And you're here because, you know, if you can't be here, sometimes it's hard to understand this because you're put somewhere. Not because you necessarily all love everything about it, but there's a purpose in it. And I don't think you guys would like to move to Bahamas. Who would like to move to the Bahamas? Not me. I'd like to be there for maybe 5 minutes. I couldn't even stand 80 degrees like 2 weeks ago. Huh? We're cold people. Face it, people. Face the reality. You're cold weather people. You sleep a whole lot better. I mean, you know, like when it's really hot outside, you turn on that, where's that fan? And complain about hot. But you're cold weather people. And we need to serve the cold weather people. Everybody stand up. I'm rambling on for no reason at all. We're gonna go and cut some more ribbons. We're gonna take the offering from you, whether you like it or not. Where's the ushers? Ushers? We're gonna give. And you're just going to walk around past the bucket. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you as we give this morning. We give you praise that we're able to give financially to make a contribution to the ministry. We thank you this morning. What an amazing time. I'm saying this by faith. What an exciting time, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. No, it's been good. It's been good. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to serve your purposes. And we're going to multiply. And we're going to have miracles. This is the year, a new thing. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor and adoration for what you've done in our lives. So we thank you. We want to pray the prayer of consecration right now and the dedication. Father, I lift up my hands along with these people. And I'll say, your will be done. May your will be done in my life. To do what you want me to do. Not what I want to do. Not to live selfishly, but to live with purpose. Thank you, Lord. My life matters to somebody else. What I do matters to somebody else, for somebody. And Lord, I want to be the best I can. I want to be the best husband, the best dad, the best friend, the best church member, best community member in this Kern River area in Thunder Bay. I want to do my best to be an encouragement, to be a good example, to be a good example to my family church. We thank you this day, Lord God, that our lives matter. Everyone here matters. We thank you for the gifts that are here and the people that give here every Sunday, that are here every week, throughout the year. We bless every church member here, every family member, and all those visitors and those people that are coming in. I thank you for those that are coming in this year, all the members that are coming in this year, that'll fill this auditorium up, fill up the parking lot, fill up every children's services and all the adults. And Father, we thank you for our new youth minister that's coming. Thank you that he's going to work tirelessly with these people and grow up a brand new bunch of people, a new generation. We've seen generations go to leave and go up to a higher level and go to university and go to college, and new ones come in. Thank you. We just pray that these ones that are going to college this year will not forget who they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a wonderful afternoon. Make sure you go check out.